This episode of Nature of Things was originally aired November 8th, 1991.
Are there tropical seas in the past history of Skaneateles Lake? In a way, yes, and in a way, no. Let me explain. First, Skaneateles Lake is a glacial feature, which found its origin, geologists say, in the actions of glacial events, which widened and deepened those narrow pre-glacial creases, leaving elongated U-shaped valleys. The glacier also carried huge amounts of rock and dirt, which it deposited in heaps known as moraines. These moraines, dropped at the south end of glacial valleys, acted as massive dams, creating large, deep lakes in all of those north-south valleys which ranged across the region of New York, now known as the Finger Lakes. As the glacier retreated northward, it released most of these pent-up waters, and the residual lakes assumed levels close to what they are today. One result of this combined glacial gouging and subsequent weathering and erosion was the exposure of hundreds of horizontal layers of sandstone, limestone, and shale, a 500 to 800-foot deep catalog of past events. These thoughts went through my mind as we skimmed southward in Jack Calvert's float boat. We hugged the west shore of the lake to escape the wind and to see how human ingenuity allows for the location of camps and year-round homes in that steep slope. We did a float-by of the marshlands at the south end of the lake, scanning the waterfall there accumulated. Highlights of that first portion of the trip was an osprey which executed aerial maneuvers over and around us. We were headed northward again when our boatman decided to switch from a near-empty to a full gas tank. The boat failed to restart, and we were adrift in choppy waters, moved by a smart wind. By mighty effort, we beached the vessel, a half-mile south of Staghorn Point, where a great outcrop of horn-shaped fossil corals was exposed by the lower-than-normal lake level. The extent and richness of this outcrop boggles the mind. Through the years, we have learned that perished life forms disintegrate rapidly if they are not quickly covered with some muddy preservative to encase and buffer them from erosion and chemical disintegration. It's a pretty good guess that this 3 to 5 foot deep outcrop reflects the abundance and distribution of the life it supported when it was covered with shallow seas in some distant, incalculable past. That means that almost every available foothold supported one of these horn-shaped colonies. We know from the Great Barrier or other reefs that such a concentrated population of coral supports a rich community of marine life, from microscopic forms to huge mollusks and even large fish. It takes a fertile imagination to picture that ancient era, but it is a worthwhile exercise for what it suggests of life today. None of the forms we observed in an hour of reef combing is still extant, but it was a life scene every bit as self-sufficient as is any we can find alive today. Still, even as it waxed, it was in a sense on the wane. I wonder if we had been alive then, could we have detected the slow deterioration that was gradually bringing it down? We don't even know for sure that the deterioration was gradual. What this extensive record of life suggests is that if the extinction was catastrophic, the catastrophe was monumental. Now we live in a world where the forces of deterioration are abundantly detectable, but we don't seem to be able to find any lessons in the record of the past. Meanwhile, back at Staghorn Shore, our cantankerous ship of exploration refused to start. We were forced to climb the east slope of Skaneateles Valley, a vertical climb of 650 feet, and a horizontal trek of 3.5 miles before we were rescued by a motorist who returned us to the very doorstep of the point of origin of our safari. That walk was something else. The road itself, a fine example of hillside engineering, drew its serpentine course through beautiful stands of northeast hardwoods, magnificent red and white oaks, spreading maples, straight-trunked tulip trees, with an artful sprinkling of hemlock and white pine to provide contrast to the full palette of rich fall colors with which the hardwoods were invested. Intermittent sunshine and brisk fall air helped to give it an aura that my dear mother would have called glorious. The thought persisted afterwards, If I've been given the choice of taking that walk or of having the outboard motor start so that we could have returned by the water course, I would have opted for the latter. Then I would never have imagined that great exercise of the muscles and the senses which ensued. Sometimes you just get lucky. Well, that's all I have for today. This is John Weeks saying thanks for listening. Tune in next week and keep it natural.